Beverly Hills, houses that have exceptional architecture and a place in the city's cultural history can be awarded historic landmark status. One house that was recently named a landmark has a personal connection to reporter Renee Gross.
My parents and I are arriving at my mother's childhood house. It's been about 10 years since she last saw it.
So this is a house? Wow. Looks different.
My mother lived in the house until she left for college. Her parents lived there till 2000. The house was sold a year later, and again in 2006.
The whole house looks more modern and updated.
It's a one-story ranch-style home built with a flat roof hanging a bit over the front. There's a wide semicircle drive out front, a pool in the back.
You know, it looks really kind of a sleekness to it that I don't remember. I guess it's the best way to describe it. It really looks sleek. And I wish I could walk in and see my mother.
My mother's mother contracted polio when she was 2 years old and was paralyzed from the waist down. When she and my grandfather moved to Los Angeles, they commissioned an architect to build them a house that would accommodate her wheelchair. He wasn't just any architect.
As a creative expression, we'll die if we cannot create conditions within which it can be meaningful.
That's Victor Gruen. He's most well known for pioneering the shopping mall. The New Yorker once called him the most influential architect of the 20th century. He also chose to design about 10 residential homes, including my grandparents.
The guest room, that was my room.
Right, and then this was nursery, it was my room.
That's my uncle, Paul Rosensteel. He and my mom are looking at the blueprints for the house together.
Then this was the bathroom between the two of them.
Right, and that's Dad's dressing room, and Mom's dressing room.
Right. And the bar right in the middle, as central as it could be.
There's also a room just for my grandmother.
Music room was pretty customized. Let us know that somebody who must have been a serious musician at one point had used this.
Stephanie Hodel is a historical architect. She helped write the report on why the house should be landmarked. My grandmother was a professional harpsichordist. She played with the classical music group, the Pacemakers.
And it had the ability, I guess there's a series of sliding doors that can close off the music room. So it seemed like a room that could have been used for rehearsal, but also for performance.
Hodel says it was also clear that this house was designed for someone in a wheelchair.
Why the corridors were so wide and simple, and why it was sort of easy to go from room to room. There was a spaciousness to the plan.
The house was a place where my grandmother could easily use her wheelchair and play her music, but there were limits to its accessibility. The bathroom and the kitchen reminded my grandmother of her disability. She couldn't reach the tall cabinets.
I mean, I have images of my mother climbing onto the she's sitting in a wheelchair, and then she had to hoist her body onto her armrest, to her whole body onto her armrest, to then reach up to the cabinet.
My mother remembers my grandmother accidentally bumping her electric wheelchair into walls.
They relied on a car battery. They weren't light. And my mother used it in the house, and she would, you know, bang it against the wall, and she would, you know, it wasn't always smooth sailing, and she would scream and expletive. I mean, she was frustrated.
I never knew my grandmother. She lived in that house from the late 1940s till the 1980s. She died before I was born. She grew up in a time when disability was seen as shameful.
And the only way she could be accepted was to act as if she was just like everybody else and not talk about it. And in that realm, she did fantastic. She went to college when nobody went to. Most polio victims didn't go to school at all. She became a professional musician. She recorded with Igor Stravinsky. She married and had two children. She was amazing. And that's what the outside world saw. And the outside world saw our beautiful house.
The house was my grandfather's pride and joy. Here's my uncle again.
So I sort of always thought of the way he looked at that house as almost living in a piece of art. And he collected art that, you know, he hung on the walls. There were very large empty walls that he covered with lots of art. And So I think he was just, he appreciated the style, and his entire life just loved the house.
But they never could talk about what my mother's needs were. My father dictated to my mother what her needs were. It was my father's life that they lived throughout their marriage, because my mother didn't have a voice. As long as my father could take her places and help her navigate, which at that time was a very unhandicapped society in the 50s and the 60s, my mother just went along.
My mother says her family had the financial and intellectual resources to make more modifications to the house. They chose not to. My mother feels that's not the image they wanted to project.
But as long as we could look like even being better than the normal family, we had all these, you know, we had all this money and this nice lifestyle, and we lived in Beverly Hills, and then, you know, the paralysis didn't matter. But that denial was more destructive to our family than the actual disability itself.
My mother remembers the house as a place of loneliness and fighting. She felt both embarrassment and deep love for her mother. When her mother died, she began reading private journals she kept through the years.
My mother had written about all of her life as being handicapped that she had never shared with me, and she had instructed my father to give them to me. It was really a gift of love.
In 2011, my mom published a book based on her mother's journals. It's clear to me the process helped my mother be at peace with her childhood. Now, she visits the house with new eyes.
I think the other thing I didn't appreciate, I didn't understand what a beautiful house this was. It is a beautiful house.
My mother sees beauty where she once saw suffering. It's now up to the people who live in that house to write its next chapter. For Annenberg Media, I'm Renee Gross.